Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Amen. Well, I've already been at church, been church, and been churched, and I've enjoyed it already. And you know why? The presence of the living God. The presence of the... Y'all have done a marvelous job today. I just want to say thank you. Boy, it's good to be here. We got somebody here all the way from Germany. Yeah, wow, that was an overnight trip for them, so they just showed up. No, they're going to stay here while it's Billy Harden's father. Would you both of y'all please stand up? We're so glad. Just good to have you. Good to have you. I went back there just a few moments ago to speak to him, both of them, and he looked at me and he said, "I got a heel spur." And I said, "Be healed in Jesus' name." You know, he might have came just for the healing, huh? Who knows? Who knows? Before we get started, I want to address something that has been brought by somebody that just really was impressed with the Holy Spirit to say, come to talk to me about it. But we had people that's in our community, and a lot of young people, a lot of young men, young boys that are suffering from depression and to the point of taking their life and trying to take their life. And I've had enough of it. How about you? You know, we need to understand that the things of the enemy would like nothing better than to take us to a place of being depressed over anything that comes into our lives. And what the enemy wants to do is so enlarge the hopelessness, the feeling of hopelessness, that you have nothing to hang on to. The Bible says hope is the anchor. Everybody say the word anchor. Amen. Anchor of the soul. So when there's no hope, you lose your anchor in your soul and your mind, will, and emotions. And we need to be a church. We need to be a people. We need to be a congregation that is giving hope to people. Yes. Not religion. They've had enough of religion. They've up to here and running over with religion, and they've tired of it because it offers nothing unless it's pure religion. So we need to be a people that is willing to go into the darkness of seeing the thing that is hurting other people. And we need to be able to do the warfare that it takes to be able to get the victory. And listen, somebody asked me this morning, I won't say who, somebody asked me, said, "Pastor, are you surviving?" Because they know a little bit about what Brenda and I have been going through with our moms and all, and it's up and down and over, and you know, but with all of that, I'm like Brother Dan. I'll just raise up a hallelujah. Amen. You just raise up a hallelujah. But they said, "Pastor, are you surviving?" And I said, "Oh, no, I'm not surviving at all." You know. You know, the Lord told me a long time ago, I did not create you to survive. I created you to overcome. You're more than a conqueror. You're not a survivor. Amen? And a lot of people just in this thing of a Christian walk just to survive what we're going through. That's not the plan of God. The plan of God is for you and I to be more than conquerors, that we're overcomers in such a way that no matter what's coming, we're going to overcome what's coming. Yes. Amen. So I want to address this thing about depression, and I wanted to release together, if we'll release the very power to overcome. And somebody said, "Well, how can you do that?" You can do that with your tongue. See, you can bless or curse with your tongue. You can walk on and sit, and somebody's going through something, you just say, "Oh, me, oh, my." You know, that doesn't help them at all. They're going through something. They need a word from God. God is speaking to you and I to be able to give people hope. Hope. Everybody say hope. Because it will anchor who they are, their soul. It will anchor them to keep from being blown away by what's doing the blowing. And not only survive, but overcome what it is and become conquerors. So let's stand, if you don't mind, in honor of the Lord, in honor of the one and only who can defeat and has already defeated this thing called depression. Elijah, one of the greatest prophets, suffered from depression. Went all alone and got up underneath the tree and was an old me type thing. And God moved him from the place of all the big things that he was expecting. God moved in his heart through a still small voice. The people that are suffering from the depression needs to hear the still small voice of God. Tell them, I'm with you. I'm with you. So join with me in a prayer together as we come against this spirit of depression. Would you do that? Matter of fact, just grab somebody's hand, just signifying we're united in this thing. It's an outward thing, but it's an inward touch. Father, we come to you. You are our hope. You are our life. In you, we have everything. Father, we come up and we rise up against this thing of depression. Lord, we ask you in Jesus' name to send your still small voice to their inner man, inner woman, and begin to whisper your love, your forgiveness, and your substance of the ability to overcome, not just survive. Lord, we come against this thing of just survival, and Lord, we want you to send forth the overcoming spirit, the Holy Spirit, into the place where they are living now. And Lord, the very one that is now just contemplating suicide, we ask you, God, to speak to their heart. Whisper your gentle presence to them. Lord, we ask you to flood them with hope. Flood them with a trust in you, that not only can they make it, but they can overcome it. And we curse depression at the root. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. Give God that hallelujah. Amen. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Well, praise God. I want you to go to Matthew chapter 9. I'm going to talk to you about something that, how many of you feel like sometimes you're just stuck? Yeah. I got one honest person. From time to time, you just sort of feel like you're stuck. And I'm not going anywhere. I've been stuck for years. I've been stuck for whatever. There's a reason for that. And we're going to be talking about, what has caused that. And I honestly believe that if we open our soul to be able to receive what God wants to feed us to eat today, I honestly believe we will become, listen, we will become the church for tomorrow. Yes. Yes. This day's almost half gone. The church for tomorrow. How many of you know tomorrow needs the church? Yes. If it shows up, it's going to need the church. But it needs the church not to be stuck. It needs the church to be a moving, living, vibrant people that knows who God is, knows who you are in God, and knows what we're here to do. We also know we should be a people that knows why we're stuck, why we're not making taking the advancement to the darkness. We should be a people that said, no, I know the reason, and here it is. And we're going to be talking about that just a little bit this morning. I want you to go to Matthew, what chapter? Oh, y'all are good listeners. I like that. Matthew chapter 9, we're going to start with verse 14. Then the disciples of John came to him saying, now I'm going to stop because the other two of the other gospels also include the Pharisees. So it's just not in this chapter, but it's always when how many of you know that the gospels, there's only one gospel, by the way, but all the writers of the gospel, they're saying different things, but it's the same thing about Jesus, right? So in one of the other gospels, it said, other accounts of the gospel says that the disciples of John and the Pharisees came to him saying, why do we and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? What's up with all of this? We're fasting, and your disciples are not fasting. Jesus answers and said this, the attendants of the bridegroom cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is still with them, can they? I'm going to stop right here, and because this right here tells you what they were fasting for. What were they fasting for? The presence of God. And Jesus straightens it out real quick. He says, listen, you're fasting. Basically, he's saying you're fasting for the presence of God, but they already have the presence of God. I'm with them. Y'all hear that? So they're fasting for a worthy cause. Why? The presence of God. Jesus says, well, how can they fast when the bridegroom's here? I'm already here with them. He goes on and says that they can't fast. He said, but the days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. And then they will fast. But no one puts a patch of unshrunk cloth to an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment, and a worse tear results. Then he goes on and says, nor do men put new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wineskins burst, and the new wine or the wine pours out, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine where? Into new wineskins. Now, some say new, some say fresh. New American Standard says fresh. How many of you that your translation says new? Raise your hand. It's a new. Okay. He says, when new wine is put into a fresh wineskin, they're both preserved. Everybody say they're both preserved. In another one of the Gospels, one of the writers of the Gospels, he says, for no one who has tasted the old wine desires the new wine because they say, this is enough. This is good enough. No one says, the ones that drinks the old wine turns around and says, I desire the new wine. I don't desire the new wine. I don't desire the new wine because this wine's good enough. Boy, you let that sit in just a moment. For the life of me, I don't know why Jesus uses wine, especially in the Bible Belt. It just messes everybody up. I wouldn't have made my first miracle. I wouldn't have let my first miracle be changing water into wine. It just messed everybody up. We have preachers saying, no, it was really grape juice. It started out as grape juice. But it had yeast and sugar and all that kind of stuff to add it for the fermentation to begin to happen. Jesus here is looking at this situation, and I will tell you right off the bat that contextually speaking, in other words, in the context that Jesus is speaking that, he is talking to them about their ways and his ways. He's talking about the old covenant that they are in and the new covenant that he is bringing. Which he says, and really, and we've got people all in the church today that says, okay, I'm going to follow Judaism, but I'm going to put in a little bit of Jesus with it. He just got through telling you, you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. By the way, he says, no man puts in new wine into an old wineskin. Why do they know that doesn't work? Go ahead, Martha. I don't know what you got.
Go ahead.
I like to hear it. I like to hear the responses. Oh, we've been teaching in Sunday school before. And somebody say, oh, I mean, no, not Sunday school, Wednesday night. Oh, and I said, oh, what's that for? I got it. And so when somebody gets it, they got it. You know what that means? That has been a revelation given to that person that will never leave them. It'll never be taken away from them. You can hear the word all day long and it can come and go with you. But a revelation that you have taken in, it's become part of you. When something has been revealed to you and you say, oh, I see it. I did that study in these past 2 weeks. I went, oh, two or three times. You know why? My study of the word went deeper and he revealed more than what I knew. Jesus is saying, the new covenant cannot be mixed with the old covenant. Because if you try to do that, it will burst and both are ruined. Why? Because the people will not see the value in the new covenant because they're holding on to the old covenant. They're holding on to a works-based salvation. When he comes and gives grace and the forgiveness of sin, that's new wine. So contextually, he's talking about the new covenant, him, and not the old covenant under the law. Because under the law, watch this, under the law, they're still fasting for the presence of God to come. He's already here. They don't see it. They don't have it. Why? They're still fasting for his presence to come. Old Testament is a shadow of things to come. The shadow of Jesus. You see the shadow of Jesus coming in the new covenant. So he says, I've got new wine for you, but I can't give it to you. Why? You can't take it. Paul said the same thing. He said, I got a lot of things I'd like to tell you, but you're not able to bear it now. You know what he's saying? Your wineskin's still old. And if I put this inside you now, it'll burst. Both will fall to the ground. So he begins the thing. And see, this thing shows you and tells you where you're stuck. I'll tell you when you're stuck. It's when he wants to pour out new wine and he doesn't see a place to pour it. He wants to pour out the new thing that he's doing, the new thing that he wants to give you, but he looks at you and there's no place to put it. Why? Because no one puts new wine into an old wineskin. Got it? Say yes. Okay, got it. All right, but now, principally speaking, we know contextually speaking, that's what he's talking about. Because he's talking, they're talking about, by the way, you know, I'm not, well, I won't go there. It'll just create more confusion. I'll just stay where we're at. This thing here that he says, no man puts new wine into an old wineskin. This word old, let's settle this thing. How many of you know there's such a thing as vintage wine? It's gone through all its fermentation and it's got age in it, and it's a vintage wine. He's not saying vintage here. The word that he says here is not vintage. The word that he's saying here is worn out, ineffective, unuseful. Look it up. New wine into old wineskin, something that's worn out. Do you understand that there are congregations and ministers and congregations that will hold on to something and never let go of it? Something new the Lord wants to give, and he can't give it to them because they're stuck in their old wineskin. And it happens to us as individuals. You know that song? Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. Give me that old time religion. It's good enough for me. Jesus is saying, I've got new wine to give you. I've got new wine to give you. I've got new wine to give you. But I don't see a place. He doesn't put new wine into old skins that are worn out. Otherwise, the skins will burst and the wine pours out on the ground, and both the wine and the wineskin are ruined. Do you know how new wine gets into an old skin? Tell us. You know, because he said the one that has the new wine won't pour it in there. Right? No man will do that. No man that knows this won't do that because he knows it'll be ruined. New wine will try to get into the new wine, the old wineskin, when the old wineskin want a little bit of Jesus. And they'll want a little bit of that, but they don't want all of him. And man tries to put it into the old wineskin, and it doesn't work. Let's go on. He said, everybody say the word new wine. Then he goes on and says, old wineskins, and he goes on and says, but they put the new, everybody say new, new wine into... Some translations say new wineskins. Now, if you have one that says new wine, new wineskins, they are two different words. The news are two different words in the Greek. This is what blew my mind. This is what got me moving and stirred up again. The first new, the new wine, it says it just came on the scene. It just began. This is your new birth. Your new birth just started when you were born again. Just started. That's that word, new wine. It just got processed. It was just now delivered. It's brand new. Then he goes on and he says this thing about, in other words, it just appeared on the scene, just showed up. Then he goes on and he says this new into a new wineskin. That word new is not just started. That word new does not mean just showed up. That word new means totally something totally different. Would you like to know? Yeah, I feel you pulling on me. That's good. That word new means to be renewed. That word means to be restored. That word means to be, it's different in character. It's different in kind, but it's not brand new. Therein is the reason we lack growth, maturity in God. Because we have not learned scripturally what Jesus is saying concerning this principle. We've not learned how to have a renewed wineskin, a restored wineskin. When you're born again in your spirit. Everybody say spirit. Born again, your spirit's alive. You were once dead and now you're alive. You're born again, quickened by the Spirit of God, made alive. By what kind of seed? Incorruptible seed. Spirit cannot be corrupted. Why? Because he's there. But you have a soul, mind, will, and emotion that needs what? Renewing. Here's your wineskin. Here's your wineskin of being renewed, being made fresh. When they had older wineskins in the Bible days and they wanted to renew that wineskin instead of killing another animal to capture the skin of it and make the bottle, they would take the older wineskin and they would put it in hot water and let it sit in hot water. They would take it out of the hot water I don't really know the length of time. They'd take it out of the hot water and then they would sink it into oil. And that let it just soak up the oil. Why? Because that would give it the ability to expand. New wine expands. Listen. New wine has a lot of activity. Yes or no? When you were born again, did you have a lot of activity? I mean, we're just everywhere. And it's fine. But that's how the new wine operates. And it'll agitate. It'll just begin. It agitates and it bubbles. And the first fermentation phase is about 5 days. So you got a week of people bouncing off the walls. And that's the way it's supposed to be. I heard Bob Mumford say one time, said when somebody gets born again, they need to put them in a rubber room for a week. You know, because they're just, and he was just kidding, you know, but. But the thing is, why? It's this newness. And I got to tell you. Guess what? I got to tell you. He's just all over the place telling. Then after that first week of fermentation, the second fermentation starts, and it's 5 weeks long, 4 to 5 weeks long. So you still have some more agitation that's causing you to expand. Notice I didn't say expand. Causing you to expand. Causing the church to expand. Why? The new wine is doing so much. And so, but how many of you know God's at work? Yeah. Let me tell you something. The very thing that Jesus was doing on this earth, God still wants to, he still wants to do those things and even more things through you. And me. I got a question. Why is it not happening? I got the answer. You do too now. Why? Old. wineskins. Why? We haven't allowed ourselves to be renewed and be transformed. That's the reason Romans tells us, Romans 12, 2 tells us, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing. That word renewing is a part of the word that new wineskins. It is a renewal. It is a renewing. So our soul has to have this renewing of our mind, we have to be in alignment with what God is saying, and that will bring about transformation. And transformation will get you to the place to where you know God's will. You'll know what the good, perfect, and acceptable God's will, the acceptable, good, and perfect will of God. Well, I don't know the will of God. Guess what I can tell them? You need a new wineskin. Why? Because there's a renewing that needs to be. Why? Because what needs to be poured in? The new wine that he wants to pour in, but he doesn't see a place to pour it because we're still thinking the old thoughts. Still doing the old things, and he can't put his new things in that he wants to give you because we haven't allowed ourselves to be in alignment with what God is saying to us. We want instant maturity. Put your hand on me and pray that I get instant maturity. Instant maturity. Just give me instant. Just right now, just fully mature. Just bring it on. Now, we want that. You know what that is? That's an old wineskin believing that all you got to do is this and you'll mature. Try that on your 2-year-old. Lay hands on that 2-year-old and say, thou will not be 2 years old anymore. You will act like a full-grown adult. Come and get it. Come and get your own food. Go get your own clothes. Feed yourself. You're grown up now. I've laid hands on you. You've grown up seeking after the things that are not God because we haven't learned his way through the scriptures of how this process works. So this thing about new wine, brand, this new, I've been born again. I'm brand new. But I need a new wineskin. I need a refreshed. You know the restoration that he's bringing our soul back to where it was before in the garden. That's the renewal. That's the renewal process of getting my mind and getting my thoughts wrapped around and in agreement with God. Well, yes, but I know what God does it his way and I got a way. Well, you're in the way. We're in the way when that happens. Y'all with me? Listen, Jesus has new wine for this house. It's beginning to take shape in a lot of different ways. I see it happening because I see people being renewed in their thinking, and the results is they're receiving the new wine because why? They've had an agreement with God that, hey, I'm in agreement with you. And it's transforming them into what? Into a fresh wineskin that he can pour his brand new stuff that you and I have not drank before. And he's wanting to pour it in. So a lot of us will get saved, you know, we get saved and we become settlers. Hey, come on, there's God's doing something. He's already done it here. Come on, God, you know, come on, get it. Listen. I done listened. I got my card. You want to see it? I'm going to heaven. Old wineskin. Why? I'm not going to take in the new things that Jesus wants to give me because I don't have space for it. Do you know what institutions are? Institutions are when two or more people get together and make a plan to go do something that's beneficial. That's an institution. They're needed. Young people will fight institutions, but they can't live without them. As soon as they get together and decide they're going to go do something, they just formed an institution. But an institution is different than institutionalism. Having a disposition of saying, this is what we've always done. This is why we've always done it. And we're going to continue to do that. And it becomes an ism. You know how that starts? It starts out with somebody having me and Pastor John going to go start a church. And he's going to be the bishop. And I'm going to be the assistant bishop. We're going to do something. We're going to do something. It's going to be great. Our kids get involved. Our friends get involved. And just a lot of energy going around it. And then the next generation comes in, and they can do the things that we do and get it. And then the third generation starts coming in. And then if we haven't taught well, they, third or fourth generation, they come in, and all of a sudden they say, why are we doing this? Do you know church has gotten that way? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Why are we doing this? I don't know why. Well, then let's just stop doing it. Why? Why? They forgot the original. And they became institutionalized and living in an organization instead of an organism. There's this monk that was out in the wilderness. Y'all heard me tell the story before. Some have. And this young lad wanted to become like him. So he started teaching him and everything. And they were sitting out on the porch. And all of a sudden, a rabbit went running across in front of the porch. And here comes the white dog. And the white dog is on that trail. Chasing that rabbit. And they sit there a little while longer. And there comes another dog. Here comes another dog. A little bit longer. And here comes, time goes by. There's about seven or eight dogs. Just to getting on with it. Kept going, and they just watched it. And then after a little bit of time, one dog dropped off the trail. A little while longer, another one dropped, and another one dropped. It wasn't but one dog left, and that was the white dog that was chasing the rabbit. The young lad asked him, he said, help me understand this. There were about seven or eight dogs that were in the chase of the rabbit. Why did they fall off? He said, that's easy to answer. The white dog saw the rabbit. The rest of them was just running with the crowd. They never saw what they were chasing. So therefore, if we don't begin to tell our children about the very things of God and begin to give them the new wine that we know that we can share with them, then they will go into church situations and they will forget they don't even know why we're here. Lord, give me grace. It is 2:40. Well,
Ignore the clock.
So you begin to see that this situation that we're in, and with understanding the new wine and old wineskins and the new wine and new or refreshed, renewed wineskins is able to take on the new wine that he gives us. How many of you want to say, I really want to advance quicker than what I'm advancing? You know how that's going to come? Renewing your thinking about the things of God, the Word of God, and what He has for you. You have to be the one that sees the rabbit. You have to be the one that sees the process that God is showing. Otherwise, you'll just be going along with the crowd, and eventually you'll just get tired of doing what you're doing because you don't even know why you're doing it. I was at a plant one time, and we had big boilers, and there was a group of guys that were in the boiler area, and all I know is there was about 10 or 15 guys that was running in the plant. You just didn't see that outside, but they was running in the facility, at the facility, running. I was up on top of what they called a high bridge where the pipes were and everything, and I get to looking, and I see five or six guys, and they're running, toward the gate. I mean, and I see five or six turns into about 40. And I talked to one of them later. They came back in because they thought the boiler was going to blow up. Now, that's happy for me. I can't go anywhere. I'm on the high bridge right here. So, but I didn't know what was going on. But anyway, one of the guys afterwards, I saw him. They came back in. And afterwards, I saw him around lunchtime or a little after lunch. And I said, hey, man, why are we all running? He said, well, I'll tell you what happened. Then two or three guys came by me, and I was working on this. And he said, I don't know what they was running for. But I figured something must be real bad. He said, so I just started running too. And I said, you did? He said, yeah, me and about 30 more. And I said, well, what was you running for? And he said, well, he said, the truth. He said, well, we was running. He said, I got beside one guy. And he said, Why are we running? It's so funny. And the guy looks at him and said, that boiler's about to blow up. And he said, see ya. He started running faster. I got so tickled. But anyway, what's that story? It has nothing to do with it. So just humor me a little bit. So the church for tomorrow needs a church that is willing to be renewed by what God is saying, and the changes take place in our soul because we're lined up with what God is wanting to do, and then He pours in more stuff because it's brand new. He pours in brand new stuff into our soul that we experience, and we say, oh God, I've never experienced this before. And that's His intent. He said, behold, I do a new thing. Yeah. You know, that word new is not brand new. That word new is the one that says renewed. What's He saying? Behold, I'm renewing all things. I'm restoring all things. Do you know the covenant? The new covenant, the old covenant? Did you know that the covenant that He's talking about is one that has been brought forth that came out of the old. Yeah, it came out of the old, and He brings a new. Well, He brings the new one and makes this one obsolete. In Hebrews, it said it makes this one obsolete. He said, this is the new covenant. The new commandment. There were commandments before. It's not brand new commandments. It's the restored commandments of the very beginning of the way it needed to be before the fall. Make somebody want to go, So Jesus is telling this house, I've got new wine for you. It'll be full of activity. It'll be full of things and bubbles. It'll be full of expansion beyond what you've seen. But if you remain an old wineskin, fixed in your ways, I won't be able to give it to you. See, we're on that brink. Yes or no? Yes. I'm telling you, we're on the edge of an outpouring of new wine that we've never seen before. So if something comes in that God is actually doing and you're not comfortable with it, get ready to hear some wine skins going. Why? Because if you try to take it in without a renewal of your alignment with God, you know what? Do you know what marks me as a pastor here? I'm going to tell you, in my opinion, what marks me of the pastor here. Would you like to know what that is? When I started, I did not have any idea what I was doing. I've been here over 20 years, and do you know what marks me today? I still don't know what I'm doing. You know why? It's a constant change with me. It's a constant renewing with me. It's a constant learning. It's constant that God is wanting to give me. And I've got to do some, you know, somebody said, well, how do you pastor all these people? And I said, I don't. Well, what do you mean you don't? And I said, Jesus pastors them through me. Amen. I ain't got a clue. Are you with me? How do you love somebody that's hard to love? I ain't got a clue. But I do have a clue about Jesus loving them through me. But he will not be able to do that if I do not have a renewal inside my soul about him loving me. Because loving somebody is a tender thing. It's a physical thing of saying, hey man, it's good to see you. It's good, you know, what do you need today? And just beginning to make the conversation be about him. When we think we've got it all together here and what we have and what we've gathered in and what God has given us, when we think we have reached the pinnacle, that is the beginning of our downfall. Because I've got news for you. We still don't know what we're doing. And I don't have a problem saying that, but he does. Well, did you go to seminary? Nope. Well, that might be the reason you don't know. I'm telling you, denominationalism has hurt the church more so than helped the church. It has been a good thing, but it's become set in its ways. It's become an old wineskin. And anytime we become an old wineskin, then nothing new is going to be poured in. Now, you have to hear this. Don't get mad at me. And when that begins to happen, we will start fasting for his presence when he says, I'm already here. Because we won't acknowledge that he's already here. I know he's here. You know why? Number one, I brought him. How about you?
Yes.
Number two, the Bible says, in the midst of two or three witnesses, not in the midst, he said, when two or three people come together in his name, what did he say? I will be in your midst. I know he's here. Because I know we got two or three that's in his name. Which two or three of it are you? No, I'm messing with you. I'm really messing with you. Well, I've got more to say, but We've run out of time. You will not want to miss next week is part two. When are you going back? When's your dad going back to Germany? Is he going to be here next Sunday? Y'all be out of town? Well, just cancel that and come here. I'm messing with you. I really am. I'm messing with you. New, something brand new he's wanting to give us. Something that we haven't experienced before. Something that's just moving on the scene in our midst. He's wanting to pour it out on us. We've got to be a people that says, wait a minute, I want that. So whatever it is I've got to change, whatever it is that I've got to line up with God on, I'm willing to do that so my wineskin will be fresh to be able to receive, to accommodate, and to mature what he's wanting to do. Amen. Well, it's 10 after. I'm 10 minutes over. Come back next week and we're gonna talk to you about some characteristics of the new wine that you will need to hear. Because upon receiving the new wine, you will need to know what that's going to look like. And we're going to be sharing that with you. How many of you want to hear that? Come on back next week. All right, are you ready to be refreshed? Are you ready to have your mind stretched to the point of saying, I agree with you, God, it doesn't make sense to me. How many of you have ever agreed with God and it didn't make sense at all? He's not looking for you to save people. He's just looking for you to share your story so he can save people. He's not looking for you to heal people. He's just looking for you to be obedient about laying hands on and say, be healed in Jesus' name so he can heal people. See, it still shows we don't know what we're doing. All we're doing is following him. And that is enough. More than enough. Amen. Stand to your feet. Did you get anything out of this today? There is more. There may be somebody that says, you know, I don't know about this brand new birth. I've been in religion before and I've been to church all my life. But you know, people can visit church and never become part of the church. You understand that? People can visit church and never become part of the church. I really did like what Henry Ann said today about the thing about marriage. Yeah. You know, what she said about marriage, it just came out of her spirit, just came out just like that. But I'm telling you, it's something that you need to meditate on. You know, marriage is a covenant. Covenant. That's right. Covenant. Yeah. That was Robbie, by the way. Thank you for being here today. Robbie's been out for about 8 weeks. I've been out about 8 weeks. I gave him a new visitor's package. Said, it's good to see you. What's your name again? No, he's been working. Covenant. Don't lose track. Covenant versus cohabitation. And that goes, we want to stick with marriage, but guess what? There's a marriage supper of the Lamb. Are you just cohabiting? Or are you in covenant? Let me tell you the difference. Y'all standing up and I'm still preaching. I'm about to finish. I really am. I think. Cohabitation is you're in it for what you can get out of it. Once you stop getting what you wanted out of it, you're gone. So is church. If you're here just as a cohabitor, when the tough thing starts rolling in, I'm gone. Covenant is I'm in it to die. Do you hear me? I'm in it to die for. So should be a marriage. I'm in this thing to die for it. Why? It's a covenant. Would you want Jesus to make a covenant with you or just a cohabitation? I want the covenant. Because when I don't live up to what I'm supposed to do, he will. Well, Well, we got something in there about marriage today, didn't we? So that's good. Anyone here says, I want to know this new birth. I want to know the new birth. You want to get born again. Now, I didn't say new one, I said new birth. You want to get born again. You've played church, you've been around church, you've been going in and out, but just like you just stayed the same the whole time. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. We want to pray for you. We want to bring you to a saving knowledge of His grace and His love. Anybody? All right. Did I miss it? Amen. Hallelujah, Pat. Come on up. Come on up, Pat. Praise God. Brother Doug, you and Vicky come up. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now, this is the rest of you. How many of you want to say, I want to drink some new wine? You want to have some taste of this new wine. I'm going to tell you something. New wine in the natural tastes awful. It's terrible. But new wine in the spirit, why? It's the new things of God that He wants to give you. Raise your hand again if you want to drink the new wine. Well, every one of you lifting your hand today, you're saying, okay, God, tell me where I need to be in alignment with you. Tell me what I need to give up. Tell me what I need to do. Tell me where I need to go. Tell me what I need to agree with you. Because I want a part of my soul that's never had the new wine before. I want part of my soul to be so renewed that I can drink it and it will expand me to look like you. Yes, Lord. You see our hands, we're lifting them up in the just being genuine of heart. We love you. We know we don't know what we're doing, but you do. So we follow you. So teach us, Lord. Teach us, Holy Spirit. And give us more to drink. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.